Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Local Listens, available on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Anchor, and our YouTube channel. This week we have Tyler Jacobs of Tyler and the Jacobs. We talk about how he got his start in music playing Elvis, how often he is writing songs, and how playing the piano can change your writing style. We also talk about his influences and go on a major tangent about Weird Al and the presidents of the United States. This is our last episode before this year's Punks in the Woods, and you can catch all three of us either performing or hosting at this Punks in the Woods the first weekend of September. You can find more information through the links in the description about where to find the festival. As always, if other bands are mentioned throughout the episode, you can find links to them in the episode description.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Local Listens. I am Bailey of Bailey Ukulele.
And I am Shane of Sanatorium Hill, and this week we have...
Tyler Jacobs. Tyler and the Jacobs.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, first things first, do you have anything recorded and online anywhere?
Yes. Yes, we do. We have one album out called Squash, and it is on all the internet stores, pretty much. It's not on Bandcamp, but it could be. I could put it there.
All right. And that's under Tyler and the Jacobs? All right.
Just
awesome.
Tyler Jacobs with and the in the middle.
All right. Awesome. So how long have you been playing music?
I used to go and do Elvis impersonations when I was in elementary school.
Wow.
Just because I would always do karaoke with my grandpa, and he's always been like a really big Elvis fan. So then I ended up going and I would join him, and then I think they were more interested in the 5-year-old singing. So then I started going more often. And then what I think is really interesting is when I was in like 6th grade, people stopped asking me to sing things, and like before it was always like I'd get asked all the time. And then later as an adult, I learned that I broke my nose that year. So then I think that my like nasally nose got worse. My singing voice changed.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. Dang.
Wow. Here you are still doing it and still playing and singing. And do you still do Elvis songs, though?
Yes. I originally put Love Me Tender on the album. It was debating between paying the royalty fees for it or just putting another song that I wrote on the album. So I just decided not to do the covers.
All right.
But me and my wife, Crystal, that's how we met, was me singing Elvis at Clipper Karaoke.
Ooh.
Wow.
Karaoke, bringing everybody together.
My cousin Dave met his wife doing karaoke at the Clipper.
That's hilarious.
My old boss met his partner at karaoke.
So what you're saying is that place is not only a karaoke bar, but it's also a matchmaking service.
Magical matchmaking service.
See, that's what I'm getting out of this, is that if you want to find someone, go to karaoke. Also, if you want to go to karaoke and want to sing in front of more people, take COVID seriously. God damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I fully agree.
But yeah, awesome. That is so fun. I love cute little
stories.
Karaoke's
the best.
So do you have any plans on any further releases? Have you written any new stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I write a song pretty much every day. If not, I at least write like 3 to 4 a week. But
oh, wow.
There is a bunch of songs that I keep recording over time, over and over again, that I just still don't like the way they sound. And then Crystal has been playing the bass for most of our recordings and shows. She's still insecure about the way it'll sound. So pretty much when we feel happy about songs is when we release more.
Gotcha. All right.
You said like, oh, I write 2 to 3 songs a week, and I'm over here thinking like, I'm lucky if I get one every 6 months.
The issue is I used to make sitcoms when I was in high school, and I probably made like 10 seasons worth about 300 episodes of shows, and just so many bad ones. So I've always been able to make an endless amount of content, and it's more of been a curse of a whole bunch of really bad things being made. Like at the time I'm like, this is great, I've made a good song. And then later, it all heads up. I'm
like, wait. That's exactly how I am when I write my song. I'll get like in the zone and I'm like, okay, I've got all these songs. This one sort of works and the rest suck.
Yeah, I'll have that one line that I'm like, this is great. And I'll keep doing it. And then I'll build a whole song. I hope years from now, it's just the best song ever made.
So you play the guitar. Do you play anything else?
I can play every stringed instrument that doesn't have a bow.
Can you play a normal stringed instrument with a bow, though?
I mean, I could. I have many times attempted to play like the guitar or the ukulele with a bow. And every time, like, it's definitely a sound, but it's never good enough to continue my bow work.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
For school, though, I'm going to Evergreen right now. And I did an independent learning contract to learn how to play the piano. So then now I can play the piano. And,
there you go.
So does like learning the piano change your writing style at all? Because I always heard if you know how to play the piano, you write totally different.
It definitely has changed everything musically, that way I think with stuff. But I'm definitely just playing the guitar on the piano. With the piano, it's primarily all been love songs. Either they're happy, like up-tempo love songs, or they're like sweet love songs.
Oh,
gotcha. I'm the same way. I can only write love songs usually. Like every now and again, I'll get one that's like, oh, it's about a party, or oh, it's about drinking or something. But like 9 times in 10, it's always a love song. And I'm like, I don't get it. They're just so easy to write, I think. I think that's why I write them so quickly.
Most of the time, they're the most relatable as well. Because somebody, like, you know, you feel some way about somebody at some point.
Yes.
When I was 8, I wrote this song, and it was like, I wrote a song about love because I wanted to feel it. I wrote a song about hate because I knew how it felt. I did not know hate felt at 8, but but I think love songs, they're easy because they're relatable, even in just the sense that we all love something, even if it's not a person.
Yeah,
right, true. I like the idea of songs like that are so easy to write, because like I like to write 10 songs, and then out of those 10, I pick one that I like. I find one in there that's like, oh, I like this song. I can change it to be this, and I can tweak it a little and make it a new song, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. My notes is just all these songs, and then ones that I always think sound good end up being the love song ones.
See?
So what we're saying, guys, is if you're going to play music, write love songs. It's the only way.
With writing music and everything, what would you say is your like musical influences? Is it the same kind of music that you end up writing, or do you go a totally different genre?
I have always loved like Cat Stevens and Tom Petty. The Carpenters. I would say that a lot of time my writing falls back onto like Billy Joel, but then growing up, my dad is like, I'm so glad he's not like a racist Texan, but my dad is like obsessed with Texas, and I have told him so many times, like, why? I think sometimes my music ends up being Billy Joel with a twang thrown in, and I don't know what to call that.
Twang, that's the new genre.
Yeah, Billy Joel with a twang, and that is perfect. I mean, I can get behind that. That sounds fun.
Yeah, I mean, hey, people are making new music genres every day. Why can't Billy Joel twang be the next one?
Billy twang.
Watch, in like 5 years from now, you're going to see a bunch of bands pop up and they go, yeah, we play Billy Joel twang music.
See, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't it?
I forgot. Yeah, The Presidents, though, is definitely one of my bigger music influences, too, though. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I love The Presidents in the United States, man. I've met the singer many times.
Yeah, me and him have had lunch a couple times at in Ballard.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
He lives somewhere near Ballard.
I always forget that they're like from here.
When I was in my old band, Glasses and Hats, we have 5 albums out on all the stores. Me and him would send songs back and forth. And I could be like, hey, do you like this song or whatever? And then he'd just show me some like of his toddler songs he was doing at the time.
Nice.
I haven't talked to him in a long time though, and I've heard he's been doing
he's got this new like solo thing, and it's like experimental, and like I don't know, it's cool. But yeah, no, his toddler man though, Casper Baby Pants. That's how, yeah, that's how I met him. Because my little brother, we used to take him to his concerts. Because my little brother, who's 8 now, used to be obsessed with him. And it was just strange because, like, you know, all these kids like, it's Casper, it's Casper. And I'm like, oh my God, it's the guy who sings Peaches. Like, none of the kids are going to understand that. But I'm like, I'm a huge fan of this band. Like, this band, like, rocking. And, like, here he is coming out going, yeah, here's, like, a song about googly eyes. And I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. Oh, my favorite thing he does in his shows is he plays a Lithium. I don't remember. It's some Nirvana song. Anyway. And he says it before the song starts. He goes, so here's another children's band that you guys should listen to called Nirvana. I'm going to sing one of their songs now. And I'm just like, yeah, if only you kids knew what Nirvana was singing about. Like, it's so good.
My process of figuring out the presidents of the United States was when I was in middle school, I was really into Weird Al.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Weird Al directed the music video for Mixed Up, Son of a Bitch.
Right.
So, I didn't know that. Yeah. And that's when I realized that, like, Weird Al's song Gump was, like, parodied one of their songs. And I was like,
oh, Gump?
Oh, I get this now.
The park.
You're, like, connecting the dots in your head? Aha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had that Gump moment. Yeah. I would say that that's exactly how I broke down that understanding that also. I knew Gump long before.
It's like, oh, it's this. I got it.
Yeah. You know, Weird Al is one of those people nowadays that doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
He's like a really good musician. And a lot of people just think he's like this funny guy. But like, have you heard his songs that aren't parodies? Like, they're awesome.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
He said in an interview, he said something about how people will ask him if he gets tired of making comedy songs. And he's like, no, because I enjoy making them and people like hearing them. And if I ever want to make something else, I do that. And then I just go back to making comedy songs.
Right. And, I saw an interview he did once. Someone asked him a similar question. And he said, you know, I don't write comedy songs. I write songs and they just happen to be funny. And I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Also, isn't he like an English major or something like that?
Architect, actually.
Oh, an architect. Okay. I was going to say, he's something completely out of left field.
He'd definitely be someone to design his own house.
Right? That's like, what I'm saying. Like, it'd be like a Pee-wee's Playhouse, but it'd be like Weird Al's Wacko House. It'd be like a slime that comes out the top window and like the chimney blows out bubbles and like, yeah.
I would be so happy forever if I went to someone's house and they showed me that their chimney blew bubbles.
I went too. I'd be like, yes, bubbles. Speaking of bubbles, I was talking with Shannon recently and we were talking about doing a bubble camp at Punks in the Woods this year. Because I got a bubble machine for my birthday from my girlfriend. So we were like, what if we did bubble camp? And I was like, that would be awesome. If you blow the bubbles enough, then like the dirty punks will get clean. And you don't have to take a shower, you get soap. So you can get clean in the mosh pit.
I wish life was a cartoon like that. And it's just the bubbles get up and they wash us down.
Yep.
I'm hosting an open mic. So I'll be saying, nice. Hey, you go up.
I will be playing that open mic.
Yeah. And I'll say, Bailey Ukulele. I don't know.
Yep. And I'll be like, that's me.
What day is the open mic?
Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday night.
Yeah, I actually got the call about Running Sound Sunday at Punks in the Woods.
Yeah.
So, looks like we're working together.
So Tyler's hosting, Shane's doing sound. If this doesn't entice you all to come to Punks in the Woods, I don't know what will. Bubbles and an open mic and Shane's running sound, so come on.
We have talked about Weird Al and Punks in the Woods.
We're off to a great start.
So, I guess we should get back on talking about your music a little bit.
yes, local listens, right?
Yeah, not welcome to Local Al Listens, the Weird Al Yankovic cover hour. Do you have any stories of, like, the best and worst shows that you've played?
Yes. So one time I was doing the show and I was opening. So I wasn't even on stage at the time. Like, I had already played. And my friend Christian, the other band, he points out to the audience and he says, I love every one of you, especially you, Reggie. And points at this guy, Reggie, who was their kind of friends, but I guess not friends enough for that to be okay. And then he was like screaming while they were playing, and it became this really uncomfortable thing. And then he was outside, and then it was like everyone was trying to listen to the band, but no one could because everyone wanted to know why the guy was screaming outside. And it was because Christian mentioned his name on stage. And I could definitely understand being uncomfortable by that, but it was, there was definitely something else. Everyone left immediately after Christian and didn't hear the band afterwards because it was just too uncomfortable for everyone there.
What the hell?
Wow.
And it didn't make sense at all. Like, watching it, it was like, I watched that whole moment. Why is there a fight going on?
Can somebody explain to me why you are angry that your love?
Yeah.
See, that was another just like story out of left field today.
Yeah, I swear every time we ask this question, Shane, like we get so many strange answers from people.
Yeah.
It's never something like easy and boring. Like, yeah, I played this show once and then like, you know, we got shut down because like somebody was too drunk and knocked over the sound system. No, it's always like, yeah, so there was this like goat in the middle of this thing. It's always something strange. Like, yeah. I love it.
I do a lot of like kids songs, and I have gone under so many names performing those toddler songs. I don't even know what to say my toddler song name is, but every one of those shows is always weird because it's toddlers and they, but I don't know. It's always a good weird.
Huh. That's interesting. So Tyler, do you have any shows lined up, or are you working to get any shows lined up?
I mean I don't know. I had one that was coming up that fell through because the whole show got canceled. I mean, besides open mic, not really anything lined up besides just more recording. I just got a job I'm going to be starting this coming Monday as a secretary at a middle school.
Nice. Oh, so wow.
Yeah, I'll just see how my schedule looks before trying to get more shows.
There you go.
Huh.
And COVID.
Yeah, right, and COVID too, like, yeah, for sure.
Scheduling shows right now is so just like, awesome, cool. There's like all these bands coming through. And then at the same time, you see COVID numbers rising again. And you're like, I don't know if I should.
All I ask is that shows continue to go on until September 7th. After that, I don't care, because September 6th, I have tickets to go see Green Day with Shane. After that, I don't care if shows get canceled for a while. I just need... Green Day got canceled last year. I just need to see them one time, and then they can do whatever else.
I'll be there.
Oh, awesome.
Will you? Hell yeah! You guys can catch us all at Green Day.
Yeah.
Come say hi. Take photos. We'll sign autographs. I'm excited for Green Day, and I'm excited for the Interrupters. The other two bands, I'm like, okay.
Like, out of all of them, like, I'm a huge Green Day fan, but I've never seen the Interrupters, so I am super excited for that.
Right. No, the Interrupters are going to... And I'm so excited that they're opening, because that's, like, the perfect opener. I'm excited. I had a question that I thought of. What was your first concert you ever went to?
I don't know. I would say the first thing I went to that was like in a large arena thing was the Bare Naked Ladies and the Violent Femmes.
Nice.
I was like 19 then, but I had seen a bunch of different like bands at the job fair and stuff, but it was never at the main stage, like on the smaller stages. Yeah.
What would you say is the best show you've ever been to?
Oddly enough, I would say Train. I have seen Weezer 3 times, and they were great every time. I had a point, and I don't remember what it was.
That's always how it goes, right?
Well, you said Train, and...
Oh, yeah, that was my point.
Okay.
Crystal really likes Train, and I've always been like, Train's good. Some of the songs, Train's... But then that show was great. And there was these two old ladies who came, and at one point they were like, hey, will you hold our spot if we go and get you alcohol? And I was like, oh, no, it's okay. And they were like, oh, are you sure? It's like that. I'm like, okay. And then they're like, do you want a shot or do you want a drink or whatever? And I can't remember what I said. And they're like, oh, what about both? And then slowly they kept coming back and they were telling us how they come to the White River Amphitheater. That's where it was. It's all the time. And that they are always fighting the security. And I was like, these two like adorable old ladies are about to fight the security. And so then they go and they stand at the rail where you're not supposed to stand. And the security people come up and they're like, oh, you're not supposed to stand here. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they back up and then they walk and then they go right back to the rail. And they're like motion over, like, come on, see, come on, you got to do it with us. And then it was like, then my next 2 hours, because it was like the beginning of the show when this started, was just continually backing up when the security came and yelled at us and then going back. And they were the nicest women. And they kept planning these plots on how they were going to get onto the stage. And one of the ladies, and this was like 3 weeks before my wedding, and so we were like, come to our wedding, and they told me they would, and in my heart I knew they weren't gonna come, but I had dreamed. I don't remember my point, but it was great. just fighting
that
the
sounds
security.
Amazing.
I remember that one of the ladies said how the other one was so that she just got everything done. She was like, I'll say Margaret. Her name is Margaret. I don't know what her name is, but I'm going to go with Margaret. She said, Margaret can get on the stage. She always does. She always gets past the security. She always can get through the crowds. And I genuinely believe that she was going to get on that stage just for how her friend believed in her. but sadly, it never happened. But we continued to fight the security the whole time, and it was great.
And Shannon and I actually had a conversation a couple days ago about how Pat, whatever the hell his last name is, the singer of Train, is a vampire because he just constantly looks young.
He does.
Like, yeah,
he's
it's
in
true.
His 50s, but he looks like he's like early
35.
30s.
He like, looked like what? He was in the 20s forever, and now it's like he's 50 and looks 30.
Yeah, it's just like, come on, dude. Like, leave some good aging for the rest of us. So before we end this, Tyler, do you have any last things you want to say to the people of local listens land?
Just you should listen to the album Squash. We all put so much work into it, and it's so many genres. I don't know what the actual genre is. There's love songs on there. There's these piano ballads. There's these weird kid songs. And then there's these like Play That Kazoo is just all the bass and a kazoo together. There's
it's just
music. So many
okay,
random people were involved. So listen to Squash.
I need to go listen to this album now. Holy crap.
Yeah, listen to Squash, guys. It's gonna change your life.
And that's on.
I hope.
That's on.
It's on
every major streaming.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, except for Bandcamp.
No, yeah, but it could be.
It could be though.
Here's a track from Tyler and the Jacobs off the album Squash, entitled Stay Away From Dale, I Mean It. Next episode, we have Jeremy Aburka, also known as The Worm. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Local Listens, and have a great and music-filled week. Susie Wilson with another guy. She got him fired just to cover a lie. Dick move, Susie. Talked to Dale, he said, get revenge. He doesn't listen to Dale, cause he's off the hinge. But Dale kept going, yelled, Sue's a liar. Showed up to the building and then he lit up fire. He said, burn it down. Burn that sucker down. Burn it down. Light the fire. Burn that down. Burn that sucker down. They did you wrong, better take their money. Get them fired, show up with a gunny. Don't let them treat you like a clown. Grab gasoline and then burn it down. I'm Dale and I'm lighting on
grab
fire.
Grab a match and burn that sucker down.
Burn it to the ground.
Bundle of sticks and a lighter. We'll burn that sucker.
Security cameras are flammable.
And so is a fax machine.
It's all flammable.
You can burn
said,
no fair.
This public transit bus could spare. He hotwired, he drove off, and then he crashed the bus into a Walmart, yelling, burn it down.
Burn that sucker down.
Go ahead and burn it down.
Here I am in the Walmart Inferno on aisle 7. Boy, it's hot in here. Oh, my toes are on fire. And my hair, but I don't care.
Then out of the rubble with a demon in his eyes, Dale climbed from the dirt, never satisfied. He screamed at a child. He acted wild and he pointed a gun at me.
I'm alive. Still kicking.
As he yelled,
aerosol and sanitizer, linseed flour, turpentine, even oranges, you know, can light a fire, paint thinner and non-dairy creamer, mothballs, books you read, toilet paper next to a heater, all things that could potentially set a fire.
I like long walks on the beaches and in blazing infernos.
Burn it down!
Burn it down!
Burn that sucker down!
Burn it down!
He said to burn it down. That's what Dale was screaming.
Burn the system! Just shout and stuff now. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Tyler Jacobs standing in the doorway, looking at me, judging me for my arsonist tendencies. You know what? We're all set up. We're better off without it.